Today's Mishnah in Masechet Kelim is Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Chet. So what we've been doing over here, we've been going through the standard measurement. So because we had mentioned that we were talking about a Motzi Rimon, we want to know what exactly is the size of a Rimon. I mean, there's all kinds of Rimonim. So this led us already to start discussing, and what do we mean when we're talking about a typical Beitza? What's a typical Beitza? Or what are we talking about when we're talking about Yitzias of Shabbos, where it's a typical Grogeret? What's the size of a typical Grogeret? So we went through that one. Today we're up to, what's the size of a Kizayit? So Kizayit Sha'amru, Lo gadol v'lo katan elo benoni. We're not talking about a large olive, the minim that are very large, and go to the biggest min of olives and take the biggest one of that, or go to the smallest min of olives or take the smallest one of that. So it's a very great variation. So what we're talking about is a medium min and a medium size of that min. And that is called the zayat aguri, which are about medium size. And, of course, there's going to be variation within the Zayat Aguri. There's big Aguri and small Aguri. So this means take the middle size, typical size Aguri. How about the shear of a Seora? Remember that we darsh the Pasuk of Eretz, where we go through all of the different meaning. So this is the Eretz Chita v'Seora. We said every single one of the things mentioned over here provide a particular shear in the Torah. Seora, we said, was Seora of an etzem that's metame b'meis. What is the size of that Seora? Lo gedola v'lo kitana ela beinonit. And this is a particular species of barley. It's called the barley midbarit. And again, it would mean the middle size of the midbarit. How about the size of an adasha? Remember that an adasha is the shear of a sheretz, and that gives tuma. That we learn out because that's the tchila of the bria of a snail, is the size of a kadasha. But what is an adasha? Lo gedola v'lo ktana elo beinonit, and this refers to a species called the adasha mitzrit. So it's a variety of adashim, which is the mitzrit. Here we are back in Shabbos again. So what is the shear of Ovi Hamardea? There too we're talking about Hamardea, which is lo gadol v'lo katan. It's a Beinoni Mardea. And what is that? Kosha kefo tefach, as we just saw in Masechet Shabbos, the shear in the Yudches Dvorim, the shear of a gezera for Ovi Hamardea that you're carrying is at least the circumference should be a tefach in order to avoid the problem of people getting confused and thinking that the reason the kli was metamiim was because it had a hekef of a tefach and that's maybe tuma ba'ol, which it is not really. You need to have an actual tefach in diameter. What is an ama? Because an ama, there's different types of ama. There's a five tefach ama, and five tefach, each tefach, remember, is four etzba'ot. The etzba'ot are not referring to your actual fingers on your hand, which are of different sizes, but rather, the guy who's all thumbs, that's the guy that we use to measure the tefach. So the thumb, four of those thumbs are considered to be the size of the tefach. But some amot, as we learn out from Ramazim about the Beis HaMikdash, are five tefachim amas, and some are six tefachim amas. There's a difference of four whole shiurim of etzbaot there. And remember that we also had the special ama that we had, which was the one that was used for people that were working for the Beis HaMikdash that had to accept that they would be responsible to make more than the standard, which we'll talk about in a moment. So over there, the norm is the Amma Beinonit. And Amma Beinonit is a standard six Tvachim Amma. But there were also two Amot that were kept in Shushan Abira. Shushan Abira was the area that was above the gate that had the picture of Shushan on it, in order that we should remember where we came from and that it was Koresh that gave the order to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And that Shushan Habira had on top of it an area that you could store two special-sized amot, both of which were longer than an amah benonit. One was kept on the Mizrahi Tzfonis, on the northeast part of the storage room, and one was kept on the southeast. The one that was kept on the northeast was a Chatzi Etzba. It was almost the same as the standard six Tvachim Amma that Moshe Rabbeinu had used for the Beis Hamikdash, for the Mishkan. So this one had a half, instead of being 24 etzbaot, it was 24 and a half etzbaot. And then there was another one that was even one chatzi etzba more than that one, and was 25 etzbaot, and that one was on the southeast corner, which means that it was Yeterah Shel Moshe, a full etzba. So it was 25 etzbaot. Now, why would they have these larger amas? Why would we have a 24 and a half or a 25 etzba amma, for heaven's sakes? Isn't that, I mean, you're not supposed to have measuring things that are different than the standards, because you can end up cheating with them, right? So lo yelucha, you're not supposed to have a amma v'amma. Ela sha'omanim notlim b'kitana u'marzirim b'gedola. This is a special takana for the Beis HaMikdash. And that is because the people that worked for the Beis HaMikdash would be paid according to the ordering of the number of amos, of standard amos, of 24, but they had to bring the work according to the larger, either the 24 and a half or the 25, as we'll see which one this is referring to, that if they're using, they're doing work in precious metals, then it's a little bit overdoing it to expect them to give an entire, a difference of a 25 to 24. I mean, we're talking about gold and silver. That's really taking a big hit. But if they're talking about working in cement or wood, woodwork, so over there, it's not such a big hit. But that, why do we ask them to do this? Because they're going to be actually losing money on it. So in other words, let's say I'm going to build at a rate of a dollar each amma. So then he would actually measure, let's say he would give 100 ammas for $100, he would be paying 100 shekel. But then he would need to measure the actual wall in terms of a 25 amma. So it would have to be large ammas, which means that he was only measuring 96 ammas when the wall was actually 100 ammas and he could only get $96, and he would take that hit. Or if it was gold and silver, then it would take a 2% hit. This is a 4% hit. I mean, that's pretty big hit. But we do this in order, shelo yavo lidei mi'ila. There shouldn't be any kind of accidental mess up on the measurement, which, since we're talking about Hekdesh, would be terrible, because then it would be mamash mi'ila, b'nisr d'iraisa, b'mechayev v'mekorban, and so on and so forth. Says the next Halakha of Mishnah. Mishnah Yud, Perek Yud Zayin of Masechet Kelim. So what means, if we have the medium amma, and that means we also have the two big ammas, that was Shushan Abira, but if it's medium, then there's got to be a smaller one. What was the smaller one? So Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol ha'amot ayu beinoniot chutz mimizbeach hazahav. All of these Mishkan measurements, when the Torah said Amma Rachbo, Amma Vachetzi Komato, and so on and so forth, those were standard six Tvachim Amas, but one place not. And that was the Mizbeach HaZahav, where over there, when it was one Amma by one Amma, those Amas were actually smaller Amas of five Tvachim, and the Kronot, which were an Amma by an Amma, on the Mizbeach Hachitza, and the Sovev, which was that the ledge that we had midway up, not exactly midway up, but it looks like approximately midway up was one Amma off, around the Mizbeach made out of Binyan, and the Yesod of the Mizbeach also, the Mizbeach HaOla, Mizbeach Hachitza. Those were made actually with a small Ammas. And that's not talking about the ledge itself. It's talking about the height of the ledge. So the sove for the yesod, the height in which we measure in amas, was chamisha tvachim. Rabbi Yehuda says, any ama that was used for building something in the Beis HaMikdash, it was an amas habinyan, That was all Shisha Tvachim. So that in the Mishkan did not include the Mizbeach, even though the Amah Shel Binyan in the Beis HaMikdash includes the Mizbeach. But in the Mishkan, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, which was the equivalent of the Mizbeach HaVanim in the Beis HaMikdash, was a Kli. And therefore, he would include in the Amma of the Kelim even that Mizbeach. So Shel Kelim are all Amot of Chamisha Tvachim. Very different Shita than Rebbe Meir's Shita. Fine. Now, there are some things where, as the Mishnah is about to point out, Mishnah Yud Aleph, there are some things that are not measured in the median. Everything up until now we said, okay, how do we determine it? We take the median size of that particular type of thing. But there are other things which are not actually measured by a particular, some of these are not measured by a standard size at all, and some of them are not measured by the median. Now, the reason is very simple. We're talking about using something that is mentioned in the pasuk of Eretz Chita v'Se'ira and so on. So we have to define which Chita, which Se'ira, which Zayas, and so on and so forth. But where we're defining a measuring unit, we're over there, we're not basing it on some kind of natural thing. So over there, what would it mean to say take the median? So there were some things that are meant to be used, b'midah daka, yesha amru, b'midah daka, where there are, even though nowadays, much larger size that have been added because of the various changes in the measurements. Chazal were koveya, all of the midot halach v'hayavesh, meaning the esronot and the hin that is mentioned in the Torah, which become the relationship to the isronot and the lugin. Those are things that are used in the contemporary for the Mishnah, the Italian shear, which kept the same shear as the midbarit, and that was the one that was mentioned in the Midbar. So afterwards, obviously, as we talked about earlier in the Masechet, we talked about the fact that they were mosif a shtus, which is a fifth, so it's really 20% addition in the modern Midas, and then we were talking about the way that we would relate the shear of challah to the different sizes we spoke about. Here we're talking about the shiurim, stam shiurim, are the Midbarit, the modern Italki. The yesh, and there are other measurements that depends on the particular individual. So for instance, a Kohen is supposed to take a kometz. There is no standard for a kometz because a kometz can't be taken in a kli. A kometz is taken in the actual handful of the mincha of that Kohen. The same thing is true about the k'teres. The k'teres was taken by the double handful, which is the chafina. So that's the chofenes k'teres. It depends how big the guy was, right? And there's another shear that's in Ogea, everybody, and that is the shear of Yom Kippur. So remember that normally we define Achila as a Kezias, and we define Shtia as a Revias, but on Yom Kippur, the Torah didn't aser eating. The Torah said to Anuet Nafsortechem, as a Kol HaNefesh Asher Lo Tu'uneh. Now that would have to do with the way that your body is constructed. And since the nourishment that your body requires is also a function of the body mass that you have, which depends on your frame. So over there, the shear is very personal. So someone who's going to be drinking on Yom HaKippurim, that's malo lugmav. It depends how much you are able to hold in your own mouth. There's another thing that is a function of how much you personally eat, according to some anyway, and that would be shtei seudot. You're supposed to have, for an eruv, you're supposed to have two seudas to make your eruv techumim, meaning two seudas of that particular thing, and that would be the mizon shtei seudot le'eruv is the amount that you would eat. And we're talking about the amount that you would eat at two meals, not you would eat on Shabbos meals, you would eat on your weekday meals. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, on the contrary. It's dafka, two meals that you would eat on Shabbos, not your regular meals. Now, the truth is, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda actually meant to be mekel, and they were both saying the lesser shear. So Rabbi Meir would eat more on Shabbos. And therefore, he says, no, you don't have to take that. You can take what you would eat in a regular meal. But Rabbi Yehuda used to eat less at each seudah on Shabbos because he wanted to be mekayim shalosh seudais, and it was very difficult for him to eat so much. He wasn't used to eating that much. So he would be mitzamtzim and eat a little bit at each meal so that that way he could be mekayim the shalosh seudais. And so according to him, the Shabbos meal is a kula because he would eat less of them. Okay, but this is only the shita of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, actually the size of the two meals is basically defined by two-thirds, shtei yadot, always when the Chazal, anywhere in the Gemara, where we're in Mishnah, where we're talking about a shear of a proportion, we always mention the numerator instead of the denominator, because we assume that the denominator is the next one up. So in other words, if you say, what you mean is two-thirds. So two-thirds of a kikar, of the size of a loaf, that is made when you can make three of of those loaves from one kav of wheat. So that means, since a kav is chof dalid beitzim, so then each loaf would be ches beitzim. So two-thirds would be two-thirds of eight beitzim, which would be five and a third beitzim, and that is the standard shear of the Erev if you're using bread. Obviously, you don't have to use bread. I mean, but this is the shear for bread. And there's a shear for what Richie always uses, grape juice, the ones that don't have any orla in them. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, that's not the size. The size for bread is actually a loaf that sells for one pundion. So it's mikikar bepundion, where you can buy the wheat at the price of four saw of wheat per sella, which is close to the, it turns out to be the equivalent of shisha beitzim as opposed to five and one-third beitzim. Okay, so that means that we span the idea of going from the normal natural measurement of a specific species, and we take the standard measure of that species. Some things that we go according to the individual, sometimes that we have special cases, such as for the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, and then the measurements that we define, those things go according to the normal midbarit, except for where we're talking about the Erev, we translate it into very specific marketing terms so that we can know exactly how much is meant by the shear of a seudah. Now, there were also, it says the next Mishnah, there were also some things where dafka, it's the largest type. Yeshamru b'mida gasa. What were we talking about? Well, we have a shear k'mlo tarvad rakav. Now, a tarvad is a ladle, and that's the amount of rekav of a mate that gives tuma b'oyel. There, it's referring to the tarvad that doctors would use to scoop out their medicine. And they used to make large amounts of medical mixes. So the tarvad of a doctor, of a pharmacist, would be a large size tarvad. Also, when we talk about negaim, and the shear of a nega is the shear of a kegris, so the gris that's used over there is a large gris, and that is the gris of Kilki. I don't know what exactly Kilki is, maybe Sicily. But anyway, it's a very large kind of bean. And over there, you split that bean, it's a split bean. And that's the shear, the minimum shear of a nega. Ha'ochel
b'yomaki. Northern Turkey. It's Cilicia, Lebanon, southern Turkey.
Thank you, Rabbi Barnea. Ha'orcha b'yoma ki kupurim, ki kotevet ha'gasa. Then we have a shear also, gasa, and it even mentions gasa in the measurement. So the shear of achila, we spoke about the shear of shtiya on Yom HaKippurim, which is defined by the individual's ability to hold that in his mouth. When it comes to achila, we have a shear which is considered to be, give some sense of satisfaction, and it takes away the lo tu'uneh. So there's a, you no longer feel the pain of being in complete torturous tinnitus. That is the shear of a very large date. And that means the size of the date and its pit. It does not include, don't do it, Gavi. No, Gavi, don't do it. It includes the size of the date and the pit only. It does not include that extra airspace that sometimes appears in the date. The airspace is not included. It's kamoa v'kagar inata. Also, when we're talking about the shear of nodot yayin v'shemen, getting back to leather containers, and we were talking about the shear of breaking for the containers in our perek, we did not give a shear for a type of skin bottle, right? So a skin bottle, we never explained. And over there, the shear is, the way they used to make them, is they would take a ball, it's called a pika, and then they would spread the leather over that and tie it until it got into that shape of a ball. The shear over there of a hole that would be tar is if it's so big, the pika would actually slide out of the hole. And but if it's less than that, you could still repair it by simply pulling it over the pika. Nodot yayin v'shemen shiron kepika gedola shelahem. Now, how about if you have a window between two rooms? Gavi, I see what you're planning, and I don't like it. I don't like it. Get that hand away from that phone. If you got to go, you got to go. So, okay, great. So if you have a hole that goes between two rooms, so now how large of a hole will allow Tumah to pass from one side to the other? So if it was a hole that was made by some event, the collapse of a brick or something like that, but it wasn't made specifically, that would be the shear of a very large fist. Now, you know, as we had earlier in the Gemara, you know who that is. That's Mr. Watermelon. Mr. Watermelon, that's why the correct gears is probably Ben Avatiach. Mr. Watermelon. Mr. Watermelon had gigantic fists. You did not want to tangle with this guy. And that was Agrofosho Ben Avatiach. He was the big guy. Omer Rebbe Yossi, man, he was such a big guy, he makes Mr. T look small. Yeshno kirosh gadol shel adam. His fist was the size of a big man's head. So that's what we're talking about. That's the ultimate gasa, man. That's really gas. If you meant it, though, to be a hole, shena asabi de adam, on purpose, because you wanted to allow light, let's say, or passing things from one room to the other. So over there, shiro kumole magdeh gadol shelishka. There was a drill that they used to make the Berek HaBayit repairs, and that was a very large drill, which was the size, I mean, for drills, it's large. It's still definitely not the shear of a tefach. It's the shear of a kapundiona italki, which is the same size as a Neronian sela. And that's the size of melo nekef shaba'ol. In the ol, they used to pass the rope through the ol, and they would put something in to hold it so that it wouldn't slip out. That was the same size as the pundion, which was the same size as the sela haneronit.